I've been thinking a lot about my dad lately, and his birthday was the other day. In really cold snaps that we would have when it was really icy on the ground and it was really slick, he would kind of draw upon his cultural vocabulary. Now, he grew up in the mountains of southwestern Virginia. He was extraordinarily educated, very, very bright man, but he would also, you know, kind of come out with some these kind of really kind of colloquial sayings, you know, the kinds of things that we used to laugh at that Jed Clampett would say, you know. And he would come in on particularly slick and icy days, and he would say, and I am not making this up, he would say, "Man, it's slick out there. It's slicker than owl snot on a doorknob." I'm not making this up. And I have no idea about owls, the bird owls, and I love them, but I don't know anything about the viscosity of their mucus. But that really kind of says it all. It's slicker than owl snot on a doorknob. Well, hello, everybody. This is Pastor Burkloud with your Sunday forecast. And sorry about the gross introduction there, but, you know, it's in your mind now. And next time it gets really slick. In fact, as you're walking around now, you still need to be really careful. I fell earlier in the week. And, so the packed ice warms up, gets a little slushy, and then refreezes overnight. So please, please, please be careful as you walk and as you make your way around in this the snowcrete that we have been dealing with. So this Sunday, we are going to gather together at church. I don't have anything that would make me think that there's heavy weather coming that would impact that. Of course, when it does happen, I want you to please make sure that you have signed up for our text messages and our other alerts so that you can make sure that you're coming to church. We're trying to be really, really careful to make sure that we don't put people into any unnecessary risk, but you always want to use your judgment. Use your good judgment as well, because, you know, I don't know what it looks like outside your door. And, you know, you want to be careful about making your way around. So this Sunday, we will continue our journey with Jesus. We have been, during these last few weeks, on the road with Jesus, moving from his birth and then his baptism into the beginnings of his ministry. We talked about the beginning of his ministry just this last week with him clearing the temple. And now we're in John chapter 3. And we'll continue to work inside the Gospel of John for these next few weeks, particularly as we go through Lent. I'll talk to you about that a little bit. But as we go through Lent and into Easter, we're going to be using the Gospel of John. If you've never read the Gospel of John all the way through, it's worth just sitting down. It's the fourth gospel in the New Testament, fourth book in the New Testament. It's worth just sitting down and reading through that because it is amazing. And it gives a incredible view of our Savior that it is well worth the time and the conversation that comes from that. So be sure to do that if you haven't done that, or maybe kind of pick it up again. So we are actually going to be this Sunday working with the Gospel of John chapter 3, John 3, and I'm going to read to you from verses 1 through 21. It's kind of a big section, but one of the things about the Gospel of John is there's a lot of material there. And you can't just kind of like boil it down to a sound bite. There is a couple of scriptures here that are sound bites that you'll recognize immediately when I get to them. But there's so much context and so much that is actually being argued and worked through. And in particular, we're continuing this whole business about light and darkness, and that's a theme inside of John. There's Jesus is the light of the world, comes into the world, give light. The light shines upon us, and nothing can overcome it. But there's also darkness that tries, you know, darkness that goes, hey, I'm going to mess things up for you, or all of you. So let me start with verse 1, and I'm going to read through verse 21. I'm reading from the Common English Bible, and this is the introduction to a guy named Nicodemus, who is a Jewish leader, and he comes to him, and the conversation that they have kind of in the evening is they're kind of like, they're just the two of them kind of sitting there working through the theology, but also working through the beautiful call of God in the midst of this. The conversation goes like this. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom. Nicodemus asked, how is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it? Jesus answered, I assure you, unless someone is born of water and the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must be born anew. God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now Nicodemus said, how are these things possible? Jesus answered, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? I assure you that we speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I have not told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the human one. And that's a phrase he uses to speak about himself as the Messiah. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up. Let me read that again. I kind of fumbled around that. And this is a reference to a really deep story inside of the Old Testament about Moses healing people during the Exodus. Just as Moses, verse 14, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. Now that's John 3:16. That's the thing that gets, you know, kind of, you know, put on cardboard and held up in football games. Now, the important thing is you don't stop at 3:16. 17 reads like this. God didn't send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him isn't judged, and whoever doesn't believe in him is already judged because they don't believe in the name of God's only Son. This is the basis for judgment. This is the basis for judgment. the light came into the world, and people loved darkness more than the light, for their actions are evil. All who do wicked things hate the light and don't come to the light for fear that their actions will be exposed to the light. Whoever does the truth comes to the light so it can be seen that their actions were done in God. Wow, this is God's word for us, and there's a lot here. There's so much here, and we will spend some time talking about this on Sunday. But I encourage you to kind of give some time to reflect on these words as we prepare to walk in to our worship service on Sunday. Think about what the light might be and what the darkness might be, particularly in your own life or the world around you that you see right now. And, of course, this is also going to be the Sunday of the Super Bowl. And I'm, by the way, it's S-O-U-P-E-R, because we have the young people of our church, our youth group, will be helping to collect food items for Grace Ministries, and you'll have an opportunity to root for your favorite team. So if you think that the Patriots are going to win, then, bring a can of food, and we'll kind of stack up the food on the Patriot side. And then if you are rooting for Seattle, then, bring some food, cans, get the Spam out, get some good protein or something like that, bring that in, and we'll stack that up on the opposite side. So there will be, a way for us to kind of see who we think is going to win that game, or at least who we're rooting for. And also, because we're Team Jesus, right, we're kind of like more than just, the binary choice between those two teams for the Super Bowl. I want to encourage you to wear your favorite swag, your team swag, right? So perhaps you want to, show your Philadelphia Eagles pride, or maybe you are, don't limit it to football. Maybe you are a person who loves the Boston Red Sox or the Atlanta Braves or the Washington Capitals, right? soccer, non-American football, hockey, whatever. I loved that in the past when I did a similar thing, in a church I served once, there was a guy who would always show up and in his coat and tie, and he said, I was a world-class checkers player. And, so if you're a world-class chess player, checkers player, whatever, you're in something besides the kind of latest swag from the spirit shop, that's okay. But, feel free to kind of like come dressed as a supporter of anything, and also understand that you're part of Team Jesus, okay? And I think that's the best team. That's the best thing that cuts across our relationships with each other. Now, we can disagree about football and sports, and we can disagree about politics. We can disagree about all kinds of things, but we have an opportunity to love each other and to serve each other and to serve the risen Savior, to be on Team Jesus as we live out our faith here at Sterling United Methodist Church. Well, listen, that's all the time that I have for this week. Thanks for sticking around with me. God bless you, and I look forward to seeing you on Sunday.